everybody, and welcome into episode number 284 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Michael.
I'm Cassandra.
We have a brand new, well, she's not brand new. She's been a host for a few years now. She is awesome in every way. And finally, we have gotten her on the podcast. Welcome, Cassandra.
Thank you. I feel so loved.
Yes.
You should.
Good. I wanted to build you up before we tore you down when we asked our interesting facts. No, I'm kidding. Which reminds me of tearing down. Nick's not here, so we are free to make fun of him and call him out. Which we would do to his face anyway, but it's just extra satisfying knowing that he's listening to this after the fact. Am I right?
Very much so. And doesn't have this smart and quippy like comebacks either. It just
you're not good at burning people, Michael. You can't burn people by saying how good they are at something.
At some point, he still signs my paychecks.
Okay, so last week, refresh us on Nick's question, please, Michael.
Yeah, so Nick last week asked specifically how many U.S. presidents were in a wrestling Hall of Fame. As he described it.
Yes.
And the answer, as he put it, was two. Now, a lot of the issues that we had a couple of people reach out to us.
Did anyone say anything at any of your venues, Cassandra?
No.
Oh, good. Well,
I actually didn't use that question.
Oh, so. Okay. Nice. You used my and Michael's question. Heck yeah. Right. Anyway, Michael.
Yeah. So we had a couple people reach out to us. And those of you that are listening, thank you for reaching out to us. We try to be accurate on this show. But it turns out this is what?
I'm saying that you're being so nice. Nick was wrong.
After further investigation and evidence, yes, Nick was wrong.
So anyway, we looked through his source, and he was definitely right in that Trump is in the WWE Hall of Fame. Yes, that is correct. Yes, it is also correct that Lincoln is in the National Wrestling Hall of Fame. What we didn't know was what it means to be in the National Wrestling Hall of Fame. Do they have an induction class? Do a big thing like the NFL and hockey and all these things? Not so much. They have something called the Outstanding American Award, which Lincoln and three other U.S. presidents have won. So we were like, okay, does this award mean that you're in the National Wrestling Hall of Fame? Who do we ask?
Well, we went to the source.
So we reached out to the National Wrestling Hall of Fame. Lindsay Hammer, thank you so much for responding to my email so quickly and taking the time to chat about our ridiculous trivia questions and clarifying. But she said, yes, the Outstanding America Award does count. Yes, that these guys are in the Wrestling Hall of Fame. They're also U.S. presidents. So the answer is 4. And we are sorry for the mix-up, but we are correcting it now. Yep. And I will throw it to Cassandra for any guesses as to the other three presidents that are in the National Wrestling Hall of Fame.
So
we definitely have Lincoln.
Right.
Yep.
I think I read somewhere that Taft was a wrestler.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
Continuing my success story of using Taft anytime there's a U.S. president trivia question.
All right.
Taft is always my first answer.
Always feather in your cap.
Absolutely. There's so much random trivia about Taft out there. You're going to hit it every now and then.
Yeah, that was a good guess. Any other ones?
I feel like Nixon was pretty athletic, so I'm going to guess Nixon, too. He might have been a wrestler.
A good guess, but not in there. I'll give you a hint. When I think of wrestling, beside WWE and professional wrestling, sorry for all those WWE questions that are making their way into our trivia. But when I think of wrestling, I think of rough housing. And when I think of rough housing, I think of the word rough and rough riders. And that's obviously...
Teddy Roosevelt.
Yes, Teddy Roosevelt is in the Wrestling Hall of Fame. Other interesting bonus fact about Teddy Roosevelt, I just learned. I was at the National Portrait Gallery, which go check it out, by the way, if you haven't seen the presidential portraits there. But Teddy's kids brought a horse to the second floor of the White House when they lived there.
Why?
An excellent question. I don't know. Which is gives a whole new thing to Mulaney's bit about a horse loose in the hospital.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bunch of kids going, bet you we can get a horse up to the second floor. No, we can't.
Yeah.
Let's try.
I have no reason to ever want to try to do that, but if someone told me I can't, I want to immediately prove them wrong, no matter what it is.
Well, there's that scene in Animal House. Don't they sneak the horse into the dean's office?
And then
they hand the gun to the other guy.
Yeah,
and he's like,
don't
worry, it's a blank. And then the horse has a heart attack.
That was so sad.
The sad scene was the next scene where they're like, all you see is four legs in the air. And the guy's like measuring the horse, measuring the door. And then pulls out a chainsaw.
Boys are weird.
That's the moral of the story. So we got Taft, we got Lincoln, we got Teddy. Any guesses for our fourth president that's in the National Wrestling Hall of Fame?
Is it a modern president?
It was the exact opposite of a modern president.
Oh.
I think that's a fair hint. Yeah, Michael knows the answer.
So, Washington?
Yes. Yes.
Awesome.
The as polar opposite as a modern president as can be, the other end of the spectrum. Yes. George Washington was the fourth president that is also in the National Wrestling Hall of Fame. So thank you so much to Lindsay for clarifying for us. Thanks for being great. Make sure you check them out. We will include links in the link dump, of course. But absolutely. That being said, back to our regularly scheduled program, which, Cassandra, no pressure, but I hope your fact is correct.
One thing I do want to mention, this is just for me, this is the most fun part of our job, is occasionally we'll come across questions, and whether we've asked them or not, or we're looking for clarification or not, we will occasionally go to the source.
Yeah, we've gone to Crayola. We've gone to
National Archives.
Yeah.
Because was it the National Archives or the Smithsonian? They differed on certain things.
Smithsonian and Library of Congress had different things. I believe it was about the telegraph.
The first telegraph.
Which is interesting. And some things still modern day, like the governing bodies can't agree, like the IAU for, I think it's the IAU, and NASA can't agree if solar system should be capitalized or not.
And universe as well.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say that your favorite job or your favorite part of the job was correcting Nick.
Oh, well, that's just that is the definition of an added perk.
Okay, Cassandra, fact. Give it to us. Well, don't give it to us. Ask the question as we do on this podcast so then we can say we don't know either. And that's the name of it. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so Apple this week. This past week, just reached $1 trillion in market valuation, which is a big milestone. No other company had ever done that. So my question to you guys is, what was the first company to reach $1
billion? $1 billion.
That's the problem with doing like physical comedy when you're doing an audio podcast. I just did the Dr. Evil pinky thing. Nobody saw it.
Yeah. Which... Okay, $1 billion, $1 trillion. I can't even just fathom those numbers. I also wish that I knew someone that invested in Apple early on, because the amount, if you just had 100 shares, the amount that would be worth today is just astronomical, clearly, because it's valued at $1 trillion.
And someone who didn't sell it when they were down in the dumps in the 80s and 90s, because my dad definitely bought Apple stock and then was like, nope, this is going nowhere.
Oh, no.
Papa.
Sorry,
Cassandra.
Dad.
Oh, Papa. Oh, no. Oh,
it's been a weird week for some of these companies. Apple's hitting $1 trillion. And then Facebook, the bottom just came out of their stock overnight.
Yeah.
Didn't they? It's the biggest drop by a single company ever.
Whew.
Is what I heard.
Goodness.
Okay.
None of this matters.
So the first company that reached $1 billion. So interestingly enough, my fact is also, I was researching about Apple reaching $1 trillion as well. So my fact is kind of similar in the same vein of that. And I can tell you that Microsoft hit $922 billion in 1999. So I don't feel like it would be weird that Microsoft was the first. And then in that short period of time, the tech boom is so crazy that Microsoft hit $1 billion, rocketed up to $912 billion. And then now Apple's hitting $1 trillion. I just feel like tech moves so fast that would not surprise me in the least if both of those companies held those milestones. Am I wrong?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Dang it.
As usual, I am taking the opposite route of Lindsay. She did research. She's like, oh, I remember this about Microsoft.
No, but I'm always wrong when I do that.
No,
I'm better at my blind guesses.
That is true. I am taking one of those blind guesses.
Oh, all right.
Nike.
No.
Okay.
Oh, that's a good guess, though.
It's one of those things that it just sticks out. It's like, oh, maybe it's Nike.
Is it more of a historical one?
It is. Yeah.
Okay. Historical companies.
Do you guys want to take another guess?
Yeah. I would say probably Industrial Revolution, turn of the 20th century, I would guess. So I would say Ford. I feel like that sits kind of well. They're a manufacturer.
Like right about the time the Model T came out, they just...
not the Model T reaching $1 billion, but I think...
But I'm saying in that era where they're starting to...
Yeah, a couple years after that.
History was never a strong point for me.
Yeah, they have the first cars come out. It obviously blew up and changed literal roads in the United States. And maps and things. So I'll stick with Ford.
That's close. It's still incorrect.
Dang,
but it's similar. It's a more similar era.
I got nothing.
Standard Oil.
Oh, so that's really, really close. So it's actually U.S. Steel.
Oh.
Ooh, there we go.
Yeah, in 1901.
1901? Wow.
I didn't even think there would be $1 billion like in the economy in 1901. You know what I mean?
Wow. Okay. 1901 U.S. Steel reached $1 billion.
Yep.
Very cool. If you had stock in U.S. Steel.
I don't think it's worth $1 billion now, maybe. I don't know.
Right.
But it still exists.
It still, yes.
Aluminum.
U.S. Steel is still in existence.
Cool. Well, that perfectly segues into my fact. Mine is about the first company to go public on the world's first stock exchange. That's not how I'm phrasing the question. But I would like to know, what is the most valuable company of all time when adjusted for inflation? So Visual Capitalists, they're a media news firm. It looks like they were well-researched, seemed like a pretty viable source. They cited lots of other sources, and I went down the rabbit hole very long. So according to them, what is the most valuable company of all time? It's adjusted for inflation.
So I think...
Nike.
So I think I know this because it was in the article that
it
I
is not
reading.
U.S. Steel.
It was not. No, but it was in the article that I was reading.
Oh, Standard Oil.
So I'm pretty sure it's the Dutch East India Company.
Yeah.
Hey.
First, Cassandra comes out, guesses the president's, guesses the...
Making me look bad.
So impressed with you. I'm not surprised, to be clear.
No,
I'm
no,
just
no.
impressed.
No, nobody's surprised.
That is, yeah, that's absolutely correct. So if you took 20 of the biggest modern companies, including Apple, Amazon, Microsoft, Johnson & Johnson, Samsung, McDonald's, Visa, Tesla, I can go on, those 20 would still not equal, at its height, the Dutch East India Company. It was that huge. Apple is about 10%. Of its peak value, like Apple now is about 10% of this peak value.
10%?
Oh, yeah, roughly.
10 apples.
Yeah, 10 apples, that's it, yeah.
Wow. Cupertino
Worms not included.
Times 10.
Worms not included.
Worms not included.
Yeah, so at its height, it was worth roughly the same as the GDPs of modern Japan today, so 4.8 trillion, and Germany at 3.4 trillion added together.
Oh my
so
gosh.
The modern GDPs of Japan and Germany added together still were, you know, roughly the same. It's crazy.
That's insanity.
Yeah. At their height, just some more bonus facts I'm going to throw at you. Because I knew that they were big. You know, you always read about them. And I knew they were big. I didn't really grasp how huge they were. 150 ships, 40 warships, 50 to 70,000 employees, depending on which historical source you reference. And they had 10,000 soldiers in their own private army.
Wow.
And all it took to take them down was Jack Sparrow.
A different company, actually.
There's
that's British, right?
Yeah, that's British, the East India Company, who have been described as they would, if the Dutch company was like a rich uncle, the British version would like be taking table scraps from the table because they were that much lesser. They were the young kid, you know, trying to eat from the plate of the rich uncle. Yeah, of a difference.
That's the thing. I didn't realize there was two of them. I didn't realize there was the Dutch and the British.
It was very confusing researching, which I think took me a little bit longer to research. Like, oh, no, these are different thing. But if you trace back to a lot of modern corporate governance and things with the stock exchange, it all can be traced back to the Dutch East Indian Company, India Company. And yeah, huge. Most valuable company of all time. And it was not even close. Yeah, first company to go public.
Cool. That's an interesting fact, too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I didn't
yes.
know that they had stock exchanges like back then.
I didn't do much research into that, but I know that their stock shares and their public was pretty ticked for a while. They were like, oh, you guys are kind of lying to us. And they said they're making it smell like bacon so that the dogs will feed. And then all of the owners were keeping it for themselves. It was just drama, mad drama. Even at the turn of the 17th century.
Could you imagine the guy that sold his stock? This is the stock that's going nowhere.
Do you have any relatives that would have invested?
I don't think so.
Great, okay. great,
great, great, great, great, Papa Cassandra.
No,
missed
I don't
out
have
on
any
the...
Dutch in me. I don't have any Dutch in me.
Oh, well.
Go orange.
Yeah. All right, Michael, your fact, your turn.
Yes, absolutely. So mine is about money as well.
Oh, all right. Themed. It's a theme day.
So. We recently had Friends Trivia.
We did.
I unfortunately missed it. I was busy lying next to a pool in Southern California.
So you weren't there.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a bad joke. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm not really that sorry, but I have a theme song in my head now forever.
I am sorry enough for both of us.
That's what we're calling this episode, the one where Michael's sorry. Okay, but what is your fact?
Hang on, I need to write that down.
Tell us your fact, though.
No, the fact, a lot of people know that Chandler basically financially supported Joey through a lot of that show.
Yes.
He is the best friend.
And it's not even close.
It's not close. He, of the six, he's like, that's the guy I want to go grab a beer with.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So somebody on Reddit went through and figured out exactly how much money that Chandler essentially gave to Joey.
Do these Redditors get money for doing this? Like, if I were a show, I'd pay them to research. I think that's so interesting.
I would think so, too.
Actually, I'm sorry. I don't, to be clear, even though we are a trivia company and I appreciate you greatly, we cannot pay you to spend hours watching Friends. Well, we can pay you to be a writer, but
right.
I think that's a specific thing.
Right. This was the only Friends trivia, but we've done it. So it's on a new subreddit, which I am going to start exploring a lot, called They Did the Math.
Ooh,
yeah.
That sounds interesting.
I'm all about it.
You're not on bread stapled to trees?
What?
Crazy Redditors.
I'm going to stop everything right there. We are not going down that rabbit hole.
All right. Continue.
So one of the Redditors, they basically, they referenced an episode in season 8. The one that where Rachel's late, where Chandler falls asleep while watching Joey's movie. And in order to get Joey to forgive him, he tallies up how much money he's essentially given Joey over the last 3 years.
Oh, gosh.
Joey is very punitive in his punishments, I'm realizing. Because, like, he had Chandler sit in the box.
I love the box.
And then now it's just like, you didn't sleep, or you slept through my movie, so I'm going to, like, blah, 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 blah. I feel like...
Well, the box thing, I think, was a kind of brilliant. In its own way.
It was.
Best friend. It's his girlfriend.
It was also great television.
It was also amazing television. Was that the Thanksgiving episode also?
Yeah.
From that season? Okay.
What I always wonder, Chandler obviously paid a lot. I think even rent for a while.
He did pay rent.
Was he being a good friend or an enabler? You know, where's the line of support there? You know, that's a big existential question we might not want to get into on this podcast, but.
I think it is a very thin line.
Yeah. I feel like. Joey, step your game up a little bit. At least contribute in a way. Be a little clean, maybe, or do any. I don't know. Joey's value is what exactly?
He was doing the auditions. He was hustling.
Not only that, but he's bringing women over all the time. That uses more water, more toilet paper. He really should be paying more.
Well, okay. Well, let's break it down.
All right, fair. Wait, did we guess yet?
We haven't guessed yet. Okay. No. Basically, that number. What is that number over 3 years? What is that number?
All right. So,
we're just to give you the breakdown, we're including headshots, acting lessons, dancing lessons, voice coach lessons, rent, utilities, food.
Ooh.
I'm going to guess 80,000.
Okay.
80,000. Okay. I feel like that's pretty good.
Cassandra, you may not know this. We play Price is Right rules here.
Oh.
Okay.
I don't think I'm over.
Okay.
I think 80,000 is a pretty good guess. I like that range, but I think I'm going to go a little lower and say like, 52,732.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Lindsay hits it dead on the money.
Yeah, right? 52,732. I don't know. I think it's a little less than 80. That sounds high to me, but I honestly have no idea. I mean, I know headshots are 800 to 1,000. Rent's probably over that, but I don't know how much. Yeah, I don't know. Tell us.
Okay. I can tell you that 50,500 would only cover rent and utilities.
Whoa.
Wow.
So total, we're talking $114,260.
Oh my goodness.
And obviously we'll post, it's a BuzzFeed article that references the Redditor, and we'll throw it into the link dump for everybody, but it breaks down, it's, you know, headshots, he did two sets of headshots, those were $500 a piece. Assume all the lessons were about 1,000 on average, so that's 4,000 just on professional development. You know, they lived in a nice area of the village. So, I mean, and they went to Zillow and then adjusted it for inflation. So paying in 1997, they estimated, and apparently they actually took, it gets mentioned in the show, that rent's about $3,500 for that 2-bedroom apartment.
Oh, my gosh. And Chandler just covered it? How much does Chandler make?
Chandler's what does Chandler do?
That's a fair point.
I'm starting to realize there's certain similarities between Barney on How I Met Your Mother and Chandler. Nobody knows what they do. They apparently make a stupid amount of money.
I think that it's amazing to me watching other
they
shows.
They both go after each other's their best friend's girlfriends.
How much of other television relates to specific friend tropes? Like, yeah. New Girl, there's a ton that it's like, this is directly a plot of Friends or something. Right. It's just like, you know, all the things lead back to a Shakespeare plot. It's
right.
Like the recently new sitcoms, all of them have some sort of Friends escapades going on. The Office has a bunch of similar storylines and things like that. How I Met Your Mother, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Well, here's the fun part for me that I just started getting into it. Just food. The amount
just
of food
yeah.
is
which
huge.
Is a lot.
You gotta assume he buys 100% of the groceries. They eat out 2 or 3 times a week. And then all the times they're at the coffee place. So you figure, and then he, apparently, I didn't realize this, he pays for Joey's dates.
Oh, come on.
Okay, that is enabling.
Yeah, right? So it says
that
here.
That is too far, Chandler Bing.
It says here, let's say $100 a week on groceries, $100 a week on pizza, takeout, and coffee, and $50 a week for Joey's dates. Every week for 3 years,
oh.
In 1997 money, $39,000 just on food.
Wow.
That's ridiculous.
Wow.
And then it also includes the time that Chandler had to replace all the furniture when all their stuff in their apartment got stolen.
Yep.
So they counted that to about $5,500. So, and they get to the final tally, $114,000.
Wow.
I still just can't believe that Chandler would pay for Joey's dates. Like, that's just, I can't get over that mental hurdle.
I need to
when
figure
when he can't get his own.
Right. Right.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, though, too. I need to know where that's sourced.
Right.
I'm definitely going to take a deeper dive into all this, because I don't remember at any point, like, the only time I remember is they're on a double date, and Chandler accidentally gets set up with Janice.
Yeah, I do remember that.
And I remember Joey handing over his credit card.
Right, so is it just Chandler pays Joey's credit card bill, maybe?
That's maybe what I'm thinking.
That's a dangerous game.
But
Chandler would have known that when he goes, like, oh, we're going to now order bottles of wine and champagne. You know what I mean? He starts going big on that credit card.
Hmm.
So I don't know if it's one of those things like every time it comes due, he's like, fine, I'll cover it this time. Fine, I'll cover it this time.
But like, just pay the minimum payment. And like, that's a problem for future Joey.
this is not great advice when it comes to credit card payments, to be clear.
We at the We Don't Know Either podcast are not responsible for any financial advice given on the show.
I need a soundboard with those kind of those clips.
It was for Chandler's future financial well-being.
Oh no, Chandler could have just found a decent roommate.
He's not an authorized user. okay, so I have a secret phrase,
right.
And it's going to be bread stapled to trees. And I'd like to just skim through this lovely subreddit, and it's just a bunch of people stapling bread to trees. I don't know the origin. I don't know I don't know anything else, but
it
really
is bread stapled to trees.
Yeah, I don't
know. Wait, go back. Because there were like 4 different types of bread on that one.
Yeah, and they always tell you what kind of bread is there. And they sometimes people spell it out. This one's got a nice little like hoagie roll going on. But yeah, it's just a subreddit. They're out there for everything, I guess.
I am going to be living on the they did math.
Yeah.
Subreddit though. Just like,
I'm very interested in that.
I remember seeing another one. I think it was somebody figured out how many suits Barney owned from How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, geez.
And he just, I don't remember, maybe it was like a crap load or a butt load or something like that. He's like, I own 4 buttloads of suits. Or, oh, no, it was how much money he made. That was it.
Oh.
And it's when he gets really drunk in the last season. He's like, oh, I make this much money. And then they worked backwards.
Somebody put a big piece of wheat on a bonsai tree.
All right.
And the description is pictures of bread that have been stapled to trees. And it is 112,000 subscribers. But anyway, we don't know either. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Michael.
I'm Cassandra.
We don't know either.
Bye.